Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is a second hour of Live the Promise, and man, did we have a conversation first hour. If you just tuned in, I was talking to radio host and author Brant Hansen about his book Unoffendable, and he says that there's no biblical case for righteous anger. He said anger will destroy us in every sense of the word, and he lays out scripture. He talks about really what the church needs. What we need is an unoffendable heart. I've been talking about that off and on for a few years, but I feel like he tied it up in such a powerful way. Really, I thought, a gripping conversation. So if you just tuned in, I'm telling you, you're going to want to catch the podcast. It'll be up shortly after the show, myfaithradio.com. Well, we're switching gears now. We bring Bill and Pam Farrell on once a month to talk marriage and relationship and family issues. And today we're going to talk about the secret language of successful couples. So I don't want to waste another moment. Let me tell you about my guests and we'll get them on the show. Bill and Pam Farrell are authors, speakers, and co-founders and co-directors of LoveWise, an organization to help people connect love and wisdom and bring practical insights to their personal relationships. Bill and Pam have written more than 30 books, including the very famous Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti and Red Hot Monogamy. They've been married more than 30 years, have raised three young men who love Jesus and athletics, and you can find them online at lovewise.com and their influencer page on our website, myfaithradio.com. Bill and Pam, welcome back to the program.
Hi, it's always great to be with you, Susie.
Hey, Susie, good to be with you. You know, we may not be switching subjects if we're talking about unoffendable.
Yeah.
That might apply to marriage, huh?
Yes. Right.
Well, in fact, that's what Brant said at the beginning of the show. He said, I want to hear what they have to say. So he might be listening as well, but you're so right. It would transfer over pretty well. Well, as you know, we love to start out talking scripture in the morning if there's a verse that either of you have been thinking about these days. Pam, I'll start with you.
You know, the theme verse, I think, that is the net underneath the secret language of successful couples is Philippians 1:7. It's right that I feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. And I think that's the verse to keep in mind, is because no one can be good enough long enough for it to be all about our perfect performance in marriage. We have to carry each other on our hearts.
Say that again. No one can be good enough long enough.
No one can be good enough long enough for it to be about perfect performance. And so it has to be, what makes marriage work is when we carry each other on our hearts and in our hearts.
Mm, that's excellent. What about you, Bill?
My verse this week is it's 2 Timothy 2:1. It says, "You therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus."
Excellent.
And I love that verse because it reminds me that grace is a strong word. That I think most of us tend to focus on just the forgiveness side, that we're forgiven because of the grace of God. But the other side of grace is a call to excellence. Because when you are set free and when you are forgiven for everything, you now have the ability to choose the best path in life. And God has laid out, said, you now have choices because you're forgiven. And somebody who really believes they're forgiven and really believes they're free will choose to walk in excellence. Because when we're free, we tend to choose the best. And I think it's a great thought for marriage, because so many people settle for mediocre in their marriage rather than looking at their marriage and saying, you know, I'm going to choose what's best so this relationship can flourish.
Excellent word. Well, I was thinking about this title, The Secret Language of Successful Couples, and I thought, you know, since there's a secret to this, and we're going to unpack that in a moment, there also must be an instinctive default towards unsuccessful communication. And Bill, what is the common default that never seems to work in marriage in such a way that we actually need to know the secrets of communication? Trick question.
Well, let me just speak from the guy side, because as men, like our hidden hope is that the person we married is one of our buddies who looks better than everybody else we know.
Okie dokie.
And so when we get frustrated with the relationship, we try to speak to our wives like they're one of the guys. So we'll either call them out or challenge them, or we try to get our wife to man up and just like face the challenges of life. And it doesn't work. Like that works with our guy friends, and it works with our circle of friends, but it doesn't work with our wife. And yet we keep trying it. It's why so many men are angry with their wives, is because they're trying to call them out like they would their friends, and she's not responding.
Wow. Wow. That's powerful. So, Pam, how about you? Was there an instinct default for us that we keep banging our head against the wall that's not working?
Doesn't your husband read your mind, Susie?
Oh, well, bingo.
I think that, seriously, too many times we do the whole, you should just know. If you love me, you should just know why I'm mad, what I want for my birthday, what plan, what Christmas, we're throwing a party, what help I might need. Yeah. They don't just know, girls. They don't just know. We have to communicate in a loving, more positive way if we want to get the response we're looking for.
So these answers were exactly what I was going for, because you think about it, Bill, if guys are trying to treat their women and say, man up, you know, and women are saying, you should know, you're starting out with constant frustration, which then diminishes any sense of safety in the relationship. And so you're already kind of in debt before you even start, right, Bill?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people running around disappointed in marriage. They had great hopes for going into it, and then it just turned out very different than they expected. And I don't know of anybody who wants to be defensive and disappointed in any of their relationships. And so when marriage starts to get defined by those two things, people just struggle with their motivation. You know, they know they should work on it, but they're like, you know, I tried, and it just turns out more disappointing, and so... So the average couple just drifts into coexistence.
Okay. Wow. Well, here's a quote from your book, Pam. I'd love for both of you to comment, but Pam, we'll start with you. It says, the secret language of successful couples is a combination of usernames and passwords that grant you access to the best parts of your relationship. When these codes are in place, your relationship appears to be relatively easy. The way you interact, love, argue, and make decisions is satisfying for you as a couple. When the code is missing, all the systems of your relationship are awkward. Explain what you mean there.
There is a code that unlocks love that we women get when we get married. And so the username's wife, and the password, just like you would use for, you know, checking your bank account or making a flight reservation or a hotel reservation. You know, all of us use passwords every day. So the password or the code that will unlock love is success. When we seek to meet a man's success need first, he's going to be easier to live with and easier to love. And so this whole area of success is really important to men. It's important to men and women, but it is their first need, their primary need, their core need. And it really goes back to Ephesians.
Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, it's very interesting that in the premier passage in the Bible about marriage, men and women are given different commands. And like you might think that, well, it's a marriage relationship, so we're just going to give the general command to everybody. And if everybody lives this out, then the thing is going to work. But men and women are given very distinctly different instructions when it comes to marriage. And the reason why that is that men and women have different primary emotional needs in their life. Mm-hmm. And because marriage is so intense, like there's nobody else on earth that you merge everything with. You merge your money, you merge your decisions, you merge your bodies, you merge your family, you merge your hopes and dreams. It's all wrapped up in this one relationship. And because of the intensity of that relationship, there's a line of trust in every marriage. And if you as a couple are above that line of trust, marriage seems pretty easy. You look at each other and say, wow, it is good to be together. We chose well. If you're below that line of trust, everything is a problem. And no matter what you try to do, you run into frustration and you run into disappointment. And you have conversations like, how are you today, honey? And the response you get is, what do you mean by that? And so this sense of suspicion can set in. And what puts you above that line of trust is when these primary emotional needs get met.
And so for a guy, you know, our instruction is wives, honor your husband. And our best way to honor him is to recognize the way he's wired, that there's this primary need to succeed. And guys want to succeed in all areas of life. They want to succeed in their business. They want to succeed in the community, the church, as a dad, and awesome as a husband. In fact, the number one thing that we hear from husbands that's their primary complaint about their wife is there's just no pleasing the woman. They don't know how to succeed in meeting her needs and having a successful marriage. And so if we women can help a guy out and help him succeed with us, that will be huge in his life. And so this whole area of honor and wanting him to succeed, sometimes it's called like the male ego. And that male ego, it's like there, it's right on the surface. And, you know, I used to think, oh, yeah, that's just like, you know, made up. It's not really there, right? As a newlywed, I found out, yeah, it is. We were out at like a dinner party when we were first married. And it was like next to a swimming pool, kind of an outdoor picnic kind of thing, and there's music playing. And so Bill's a great dancer, and so he is, you know, whisking me around by, you know, the dance floor, and he does this big, you know, finale finish with a big dip, but he drops me on the ground. And so I'm laying on the ground. I'm like, honey, why am I on the ground? And he whispers,
I just ripped my pants.
I'm like, you guys, Bill just ripped his pants.
Oh, he pointed it out to everybody.
Now, I thought it was funny. Our friends thought it was funny. Bill did not
think
it
was funny.
Yeah, long, quiet ride home. Learn something that day. Probably not a good idea to point out your husband's flaws in public. It's not even a great idea in private, but definitely not a good idea in public.
And Susie, I don't want your listeners to think that this need to succeed is just, you know, kind of a macho male ego, like just it's just limited to that. What it really is as men, we're emotionally connected to being successful. So anything we believe we can succeed at, we're highly motivated to do. So if we believe we can succeed in communicating with our wives, we work on it. If we believe we can succeed at making decisions with our wives, we're interested in it. If we believe we can succeed at romancing our wives, we pursue that. But anything we don't think we can succeed at, we will avoid. And that's why when a woman compliments her husband, flirts with her husband, whispers in his ear, you know, when God made you, he did a great job.
You're my hero.
Yeah, you're some of his best work. That changes us emotionally, raises our motivation level, and makes us want to engage in this relationship.
And it is important how we word that. You know, it's important that we say you're some of God's best work rather than, yeah, you're a piece of work. That one doesn't go
One word does make all the difference. Well, one of the things in your book you talk about for most men, success, here are just some ideas for encouraging men, discovering what we do well and what we don't do well, spending time doing what we do well, evaluating our lives based on what we do well, making a fierce commitment to doing what we do well, avoiding the areas of life that don't work, wanting to spend the majority of our time at things we get complimented on, desiring to make relationships as simple as possible to ensure success, wanting life to feel smooth and easy because we are competent at the majority of the tasks assigned to us. And so, Pam, we have to take just a break in a moment, but women have play a role in this in a significant way. I mean, it's a make or break in some ways with us as far as what we communicate to them, right?
It definitely is, and I think that the better we become at communicating our honor and respect towards him, the more successful he's going to feel. And if I have about 2 minutes, I can share a story from our own life, or I can wait until after the break,
you
if
know,
that's better.
Yeah, let's wait for a break. We need to take a quick short one. When we come back, tell the story. And then when we come back also, Bill, I want you to talk about a woman's need for security and what that looks at, like, how it's played out, how you've learned to really care for Pam in a way that makes her feel secure. 877-933-2484. Chime in with your questions or comments. We'd love to hear from you. 877-93-FAITH, or you can email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell about the secret language of successful couples. More when we come back.
Yeah.
When you believe that God is for you, who can stand against you? When you show up in your relationships knowing that God is for you, He's the strength of your heart, you tend to do better in relationships, I think, because so often we trip up when our triggers of insecurity are hit. You know what I'm saying? 877-933-2484. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell today about the secret language of successful couples. And you're about to tell a story, Pam. Why don't you take it from there?
So we're talking about the need to honor our husbands to help them feel successful in life. And we had just moved from a youth pastorate at a mega church down to take over a church that was smaller. Bill was a senior pastor. He was 28, and the church was under 100 people. And so it was a big transition for him. And we moved from this beautiful three-bedroom, two-bath home that Bill had totally remodeled into this little apartment because we could not afford a home at that point. And so we moved into this little apartment. And after moving into this apartment, we found out about the rule in this apartment complex, and that children were not allowed on the front porch, on the back porch, on the sidewalk, on the patio, on the playground. Mm-hmm. It's like kids couldn't exist. And we had one car, and Bill used it for work, and so I was pretty much stranded with two little toddlers, got depressed. Normally, I'm really optimistic, but I was so depressed.
Understandable, just got to say.
Yeah, exactly. And so he would walk in, and I'm like, how long do we have to live like this? And, oh, yeah, that makes him want to run home and spend time with me. Mm. And one day, I couldn't even remember, I walked into the walk-in closet. I couldn't even remember why. And so I just sat down on top of a dirty load of laundry, and I started to cry. My two little boys toddled in. Brock, who was four, said, "What's wrong, Mommy?" And I said, "I don't know." And I just sat there on top of that load of laundry, rocking back and forth, sobbing, holding my two little boys. Finally, I'm like, okay, they're asleep. I need to get my act together here. And so I put each one of them in their bed, and I went and I sat at the kitchen table. I said, God, this is crazy. You know, I have a husband who loves me. It's kind of a miracle right now. And I have two kids, and they're healthy. You have to give me an answer to this emotional pain that I'm in. And so I grabbed my Bible, and I started thumbing through, looking for all the verses that had been underlined and starred and highlighted. Well, I came across that familiar verse out of Ephesians 5, you know, wives honor their husbands. And I remember telling God, yeah, I'm pretty sure there should be a loophole for times like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously? I'm supposed to honor him? Really? And totally attitude. I grabbed my Bible study tools, looking for the loophole, like why I was justified in holding on to my anger, frustration, depression, and all that. But instead of finding out how I could opt out of honoring Bill, God led me to how I could opt in and save my marriage. And what God said to me that day is, Pam, I want you to do three things. Well, this is what honor means. I want you to see Bill as a man who is worthy of honor and respect because he's a gift. I gave him to you. I created him for you. And so see him like I see him. Second, I want you to speak to Bill with the words that I used to speak to Bill, words that will build him up and encourage him and edify him. And Pam, I want you to serve alongside Bill. I want you to serve him and help him be successful in this new senior pastorate. You're his helpmeet. I created you for this power team. You can do this, girl. And so I called Bill on the phone, and I'm like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And Bill said,
I think so.
He wasn't sure what he's going to get. And so over lunch, I shared what the Holy Spirit had taught me. And I said, okay, honey, from this point on, if I don't get the fancy house, if I don't get the car, if I don't get like all the things that I think that I have needed and been complaining about, that's okay. From this point on, 100%, babe, I am on your team.
Mm-hmm. And if I were to put my internal response into words, it would sound something like, yes, because the way God has wired marriage is in my life, the most important opinion on earth to me is Pam's. And if Pam believes in me and Pam says, you can do this, it doesn't really matter what other people have to say. And on the other hand, if everybody I know says, Bill, you're doing good, but Pam's response is, well, you're just okay. What I hear in my heart is the just okay. And so that day when Pam said, Bill, I'm on your team, I don't really know how to explain it to you, Susie, but I changed. Like, I became a better pastor. I was working less hours, getting more done. I figured out pretty quickly how to get us out of that apartment and into a house that had a yard so our kids could use all that energy that God had given them. And we committed that year to build a house so that we could build roots in our community. And I was actually working harder, but it felt easier because I knew Pam was right alongside of me and she was supportive. And it's a powerful thing that happens in marriage. When you get on the same page and when a husband is convinced that his wife believes in him, he becomes a very powerful man here on earth.
That is a really powerful truth. And Pam, there is that moment. It's like a free fall moment, I think, for us as wives when we're not getting what we want, but we follow God's word because he's God and he says so. And we do it for that reason alone. Not that we do it to get what we want, but if there is a pathway to get what we want, it is God's way. You know what I'm saying?
It may not be in the form that we think what we will get, but God always blesses obedience. I mean, I have this little saying that I tell women all the time. You want to stay under the umbrella of God's blessing, that he's a shield and he grants favor to the upright in heart. And so, and Jesus says, if you love me, you obey me. And if you obey me, I'll disclose myself to you. And so when we obey Jesus, we say, wow, what an awesome God, because he's disclosed himself to us. And so the next time we're motivated to obey him and he does something wonderful for us, so we're like, wow, what an awesome God. So we're motivated to obey. And in that cycle of obedience, we get closer to Jesus, and that umbrella of favor goes over ourselves, our lives, our family, and God says he'll work all things together for good. Mm-hmm. And so he puts the puzzle pieces together. He's the master chessman, but he honors us when we honor his word by obeying by faith and showing that love, that respect, that meeting that success need in our husband.
You know, and conversely, Bill, the cycle of disappointment and constantly expressing it from the wife drives the husband to work harder, to try to do more, which makes the wife madder. And that just creates a cycle of dysfunction, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. A man will either ramp up and try to prove his wife wrong, or he'll go passive.
Isn't it that, like, it's better to be starving than have a crumb of bread with a cranky woman? I mean, that's kind of rephrasing Proverbs there,
yeah,
but it's pretty close to that. It's better to have Chinese water torture than it is to have a cranky wife. That's Pam Farrell, you know, version. But, yeah, it says over and over in the Proverbs that it's really easy for us wives to tear our families down with our own words, our own actions.
Well, I think some of the best moves I've made in those hard places over the years of marriage are really out of obedience to God, because our emotions can come and go for our spouses, and sometimes the emotion you feel is frustration or disappointment or heartbreak. And that's why you can't let the emotions can't have the last say. It's like, if you're a Christ follower, Jesus gets the last say, right, Bill?
Well, yeah, and like, can I just state the obvious for all of us? Like, every woman we're talking to right now is married to an imperfect man.
Okay. Revelation.
And if you want to find fault with your husband, it's not that hard to do. Yeah, it's not that difficult, because we're all imperfect and we're all struggling to become more like Christ. And we have seasons in our life that don't go that well. And so if you want to find shortcomings in your spouse, it isn't that difficult to do.
Pause right there. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell. When we come back, we'll talk more about the secret language of successful couples. Call in with your questions, 877-93-FAITH. We'll be right back. Sorry. Hey, so glad you tuned in. I love that song by Chris August. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell. One of my favorite things, you guys, is put this song on and my kids get up and we all dance together. It just makes me smile.
Good for you.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah,
good stuff. We're talking about the secret language of successful couples. And let's talk for a moment about a woman's quest for security. And you wrote that security for us is more important and vibrant, common need than success. And it's not that we don't want to succeed, but success is a means to security. So, Bill, say another word about that.
Well, this whole idea comes out of the fact that in Ephesians 5, we as husbands are told to love our wives as Christ loves the church. And then it's repeated, we're supposed to love our wives as we love ourselves. And then we're told, once again, we're supposed to nurture and cherish our wives. And so they're obviously all those commands are pointed at something in her life that's really valuable. And what I finally concluded is that there is a primary question that a woman asks every single day of her life. And it leads to the username and password that us husbands can use to gain access to her heart. The username is husband, and the password is security. And it's based on the fact that women's lives are always changing. So you have this incredible gift that God gave you that leads to a monthly cycle. And because of that, life is always in flux for a female.
Way to walk carefully around that one, Bill.
That wasn't bad, was it?
And that was really good.
And so it leads to this question, is it safe to be who I am today around you?
Mm.
And let me just illustrate with Pam. Like, there are days that Pam is absolutely the most reasonable person I've ever met. And I still marvel after 36 years of marriage that on those days I can bring up any topic with Pam and we can discuss anything, and I get better advice from her than anybody else in my life. There are other days that Pam is the most intense person I've ever met. And everything that happens that day is just in this intense tone. We gotta go. There's other days that Pam is very laid back and easygoing and just wants to relax. And there's other days that I just declare a no-fly zone in our home.
Mm.
And on those days, the only thing I like to say to Pam is, would you like flowers or chocolate?
Perfect.
And
both, dark chocolate, 70%.
And so it creates this changing environment. And so she is led to ask, it comes in lots of different forms, but it's the same question, is it safe to be who I am today around you? And if we as men learn to answer that question, yes, who you are today is safe, our wives become much easier to live with and much easier to love because they feel like this is a safe place for me. And tomorrow this is going to be a safe place for me. And as men, we tend to be impatient with this need. Because this is not how we talk to one another.
I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
I just never ask my guy friends if they feel safe. Because it's not an issue for us. Like, we know it's somewhere on the list, but we have things in our life that are much more important than that.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think it costs you something to absorb some of our emotions around our need for safety and security? I mean, you have to kind of dig deep and love in a way that's probably not as instinctive for you, you know?
I actually think you're understating it, because for us it's a foreign language.
Mm.
We honestly, if we could get away with it, we would want to say, look, I told you I loved you. I have not changed my mind. Nothing's changed. And the idea that we need to say this every day, and the idea that this need is always on the table, it's a foreign language to guys. Because, again, if my guy friends say, Bill, would you just tell me again today that you love me and you support me? I would say to
what?
Him, yeah, I would say, look dude, we're not doing that. Okay,
yeah.
I told you that. We're set. Now it's time to get after life.
Yeah. Okay, but, no more bro hugs for you.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, I'm
going
to.
It's different with Pam.
Yeah.
When I take time to make sure she knows, hey, I love you. I'm really glad you're in my life. You're capable. You are beautiful. It sets an environment in our relationship that makes everything else work.
Mm, very good. I want to pause here and take a call from Gary. He's called in from St. Cloud, and he's got a question for you. Gary, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Thank you. My wife, for years, has been trying to encourage me to walk closer with the Lord. And through the episodes in my childhood, and the immorality that I had been involved with for many, many years, she never felt safe with me.
Hmm.
And it has driven a wedge between us.
Yep.
And nearly 2 years ago, she asked me to leave because
okay.
I was blinded by Satan's devices. And, well, let's see, I got to do this fast. I was delivered from immorality about a year and a half ago, and the blinders have been coming off my eyes as to how I have damaged my wife's heart over the years. And it's to the point now where there's such a huge wall between us. I'm just wondering, what can I do besides grow in my relationship with the Lord to bridge that gap and to get her to trust me again?
What do you say, guys?
Well, he is very perceptive in that, remember we talked about there's a line of trust in every relationship, and when you're below that line of trust, like nothing seems to be working. There's a lot of conflict, a lot of mistrust, a lot of arguments, not a lot of red-hot monogamy going on. And so what your goal is to get above that line of trust. And so it is going to take, you're not starting at zero. You're like below zero. And so you're earning trust back in her life. So it's going to take a pattern of meeting that security need, a pattern of seeing you be faithful, a pattern of seeing you be compassionate, a pattern of seeing you be servant, serving to support her needs, not expect anything else in return, etc. And so the more and more she sees those positive qualities, the closer to that line of trust that you'll get. And one day, you won't know when it's going to be, but one day you'll pop over that line of trust and she'll be like, you're amazing. I see all these great traits in you. I'm so glad you stuck it out. Thanks so much, honey. You just don't know when it's going to be. And sometimes things get worse before they get better. You know, as you're trying to heal a marriage, sometimes it's like our sons all played football. And so the 10 yards right before the end zone is the red zone. And there's a lot of trash talking and pushing and shoving. It's pretty hostile right there. But you push across that goal line, and it's like, woohoo, touchdown, yay. But in football, there's only one winner. But the good part is when you cross the line of trust, God makes two winners, both the husband and the wife. When they go across that line of trust, they get a new relationship. So your breakthrough, sometimes it's just moments away. You just don't know when it is.
Bill, did you want to chime in?
Well, first of all, Gary, thanks for asking the question, because it's obvious that you have had some kind of a transformation in your life, and you're asking this question sincerely, not manipulatively. So way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say to you, Gary, and to other men who I'm sure are listening, is you got to be in this for the long haul. Because as men, we have a tendency to say, I'm going to find the one thing I can do that will put this thing back on track. And we tend to be very results-oriented. So I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. My wife's heart is just going to turn, and everything's going to be good. And when we're results-oriented, our wives pick up on it. And they start to feel like, oh, he's just manipulating the situation to get what he wants. And if instead you say, you know what, I'm going to start meeting this need in my wife's life because it's there. That just like I eat every day because I know I have a need to eat because I get hungry if I don't eat, I'm going to meet this need in her life. I am going to compliment her. I'm going to help alleviate stress in her life. I'm going to do all I can to let her know that she's valuable and she's capable. And I'm going to trust God to create the breakthrough at the right time. And when she senses that you are doing this because you know it's the right thing to do, not just doing it because you want to win her heart back, that's when her heart starts to change and God starts to do the rewarding.
That's so good. I remember Greg Smalley's always said, when you've got a legitimate wall, when the wife's built a legitimate wall, the worst thing you can do is try to bash that wall down to get
right.
to her.
Yeah.
And to respect right. the boundary because she's needed it for her safety. And then, as you said, Bill, you prove that you're safe. And
yep.
I think one of the Smalleys, I think it might be Gary Smalley, wrote a book about winning back the heart of your wife. Gary, you might want to check that out as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for that call. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. In your book, The Secret Language of Successful Couples, you guys offer some dialogue questions for like a date night. I love these. And so, wife, ask your husband, what things do I do that help you feel more successful? Pam, talk about that question and the impact on the hubby.
Well, when you ask that question, honey, what do I do that helps you succeed? Then you get tangible answers, because sometimes we attempt many different things that we think that will help him feel successful, but maybe none of those are the things that actually work to make him feel honored, successful, that he can be a winner in life, a hero. So when we ask that question and we get feedback of like the top five things that most make you feel successful, then we can really focus on doing those five things. And if we want to add extra, yay, that's great. But when, you know, time crunch comes, we know that the things that always work, that will always help him. feel successful. You know, whether that's giving words of affirmation, or whether it's a little bit of red hot monogamy, whether it is learning to hold your tongue and saying, great idea, let's try that, honey, rather than, what? You should do things my way. You know, showing a little bit of respect. There's just different things that will help your man. And the important thing is to ask your man what it is that makes him feel successful.
Bill, do you want to chime in on anything with that?
Well, yeah. The reason why these questions are so important is that we really do speak different languages.
Mm-hmm.
Like for men, trying to help them understand that for their wives, sometimes conversation is just recreational. That it's not about all of the details of the conversation. It's not about we reached a conclusion and we solved something. It's just we had a conversation. Just like if we were to take a walk around the block, you wouldn't stop and analyze every detail of everything that's happening around the block. You just go for a walk around the block. For men to grasp that that meets a big need in his wife's life is a huge revelation. And so by asking her, hey, what is it? What do I do that helps you feel secure? He is going through language training. And when she says, honey, what do I do that helps you feel more successful? She's going through language training. And when we serve one another and learn to speak each other's emotional language, marriage seems like the greatest thing on earth.
And it sure does. That is absolutely so true. 877-933-2484. We've got Tom checking in from Fargo, North Dakota. Tom, welcome. You're on with the Farrells.
Hi, Susie. I really enjoy when you have Bill and Pam on. I just wanted to make a comment that marriage really takes work, and I know that's cliche, but it really does.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are going to be coming up 30 years in June, and we started praying together about 5-6 years ago every night, and that's made quite a difference, and we really miss it when we can't for one reason or another. And that's been pretty rare that we don't. But I just wanted to say that the success with men and their wives, men really do need the, it's sometimes I think men substitute their wives or God. I mean, they expect more from their wives than their wives can possibly give.
Mm-hmm.
And it's who we need to reach out to first is God, so that we don't substitute.
Excellent word, Tom. Wow, thank you for that. What do you say, Bill?
Right, first of all, well said, Tom. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. And I just want to piggyback on what he said about marriage takes work. I completely agree with that, but it's not just a matter of working hard. It's a matter of working smart in marriage. Because you can work hard at the stuff that doesn't work, and it doesn't get you anywhere.
Right.
And the illustration I like to use, because most guys get it, is if your car needs oil and you spend a lot of time washing and waxing the car, like we appreciate the effort, but it doesn't address the issue with your car.
Indeed.
And in the same way, just working hard without focus. Like when he said marriage takes work, and then he said we started praying together 5 years ago. Like that's one of the smartest things you can do as a married couple.
Yep.
Because there is yet to be a man born who understands women. And so when we pray with our wives, it reaches a place in their heart that draws them to us, even if we don't know what else to do. So it's one of the smartest things you can do is to pray together with your wife on a regular basis, even if it's not real smooth, even if you don't sound like you're a professional pastor, even if it's kind of clunky, like, whoa, God, this woman's awesome, and thanks for our kids, and help us do good. Like even that, the sincerity of that reaches a place in her heart that draws her to him.
Indeed. And I've said it 1,000 times, guys, we are not hard to sweep off our feet. And Tom, congratulations for that 30-year anniversary and for praying with your wife. I think that's absolutely amazing. Talking to Bill and Pam Farrell about the secret language of successful couples. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the great things about guys and some of the great things about girls. You can chime in. What's one of the great things that God made guys like? And what's one of the great things God made girls like? I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back.
Call it.
tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with my friends Bill and Pam Farrell about the secret language of successful couples. Bill, you made such a good point that you can work hard in marriage and still have it be a drudgery, still bang your head on the wall and not get anywhere. It's about working smarter, understanding the other person. And so you guys give a list of some of the great things we should know about men and some of the great things we should know about women. Let's go through the men's list first. I'll just read the 5 points here, and you just, speak to those. Men are highly emotional but simple when it comes to expressing their emotions. Men look for simple solutions. Life is more risky for males than for females. Men can shut down their emotions to handle a crisis at hand. And men are highly motivated when they believe they can succeed. So pick any of those and speak to them if you would.
Well, I love the one about men are highly emotional but simple in how we express them, because we tend to think that women are more emotional than men. It's not really true. It's just women tend to express their emotions more often. So a man, he will hold his emotions in until he knows what to do about what he's feeling. And so we can kind of store up the energy and then launch it at the problem that needs to be fixed. And so we can use that emotional energy to be highly effective in our life. And a man who learns how to harness all that emotional energy is pretty amazing to watch in action. And I really do believe God put us on earth to just help keep things simpler. Because when you think about marriage and family life and the financial responsibilities that go along with that and being involved in your community, life can get complicated pretty quickly. And men, they just have this insatiable desire to simplify things. And it's a great gift to the family if everybody respects the gift.
And so, Pam, talk about what he just said, that, you know, there's like a fork in the road. Either we can respect the gift or we can maybe view it in a way that frustrates them and us. Talk about that one. I mean, how can we perceive the way that God made them in a way where we're missing our men completely?
You know, when we look at our husbands the way that God created them and begin to be grateful and thankful for our husband, our heart is going to warm up to them. And then it's going to be easier to do what the last caller said. It's going to be easier to pray for them if we're grateful for them. And vice versa, when we're praying for them, it's easier to be grateful for them. And so there are some things that we can do to value and appreciate and honor the way that God wired our guy. And simply, sometimes, you know, absence does make the heart grow fonder. Like I send my husband and our sons on a father-son trip every year. I tell you, 1 week away, I realize how many awesome things he does for me that sometimes I take for granted. And so if your husband's rotating your tires, if he is, mowing the lawn, if he is painting that bathroom, if he moves that big sofa from point A in the living room to point B in the living room, you know, it's like it's time to say, wow, look at those muscles.
Like we laughed one year because when we were away on one of our trips, Pam decided she was going to buy a set of shelves and put them together and have them all up when we got home.
And a desk.
And when we got home, the box was open, but she couldn't.
I had to borrow my friend's three sons to unload them because I forgot that I had nobody who was strong enough to move them. And so I borrowed her three sons, and then they put them in the living room. And then I realized, you know what? This is really not my skill set. I don't even like this.
I was just kidding.
Why did I think I would even enjoy this?
I love it.
You got to come home and be her hero, which was pretty cool.
Perfect.
About 20 minutes.
Yeah, that was actually a setup, Bill. She planned the whole thing. Damsel in distress. Help me. Okay, so let's talk about women and how God wired us. Pam, women are good conversationalists. Women can multitask better than men. Women are less surprised by change than men. Women are more active than men in bringing up issues in marriage. Women have a higher sense of urgency about the needs of the family. And these last two, I think, are so important for maybe young married people to know, because if we're more active than men are in bringing up issues and they use that time to bring up the stuff they've been carrying around, it always feels like you haven't been investing in this marriage. You're just using that. But you're so lazy about this relationship. You're using that. You're pulling it out of your back pocket because I'm bringing up something with you. And then the sense of urgency, if God has appointed us to have a sense of urgency and be aware of what's going on, we can be mad that they're not sensing it rather than be thankful one of us is. So speak to some of those things.
Right. You know, I do think that there's something to this women's intuition thing. I, you know, when you boil down how we're wired, you know, oftentimes we're on your show talking about men are like waffles and like spaghetti. And just when you boil down our DNA that, okay, for example, when a woman has a baby, her sense of hearing is heightened, and she's designed that way. When you raise her testosterone levels in a woman's body, she doesn't hear the baby either. And so God has actually made estrogen to do certain things and wired our brain so that there's more connections between the two sides so we can multitask. And now there's a new term for it is, you know, toggle task, so we can go back and forth really fast. So those are gifts that we bring to a relationship. And when we are valued for those in our marriage, then we feel appreciated, secure. And if we also don't think that our husband has to have those things, that it's unique to us and that's okay, that will help him feel successful. If we're not always wanting him to have the traits that we appreciate in our girlfriends or our women friends, and just say, you know what, you are good at that, I'm good at this, and together we make a good team, that's a much healthier place.
Mm. And how important for, we just have a moment before we pray, but Bill, how important for the man to accept the woman, wife's influence? Because it's one thing for us to discern something, and you're not maybe, but it's another thing for you to receive and take heed, even if we're bringing it to you. You know what I'm saying? Versus brushing it off because you don't see it.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is a gift that women have that men don't tend to see as a gift. Because when something's not right in the family, the alarm goes off in the wife. And studies prove that. That women can sense when something's not right in an important relationship. So if something's not right in the marriage or something's not right with one of the kids, she will start to feel it. And the way God wired our wives is they start making noise, like the alarm starts going off. But as men, we tend to take it defensively. We see it as she's telling me what to do, she's bossing everybody around, she doesn't think I believe in our family, she doesn't think I'm sensitive towards any of this. And so we start to get defensive, which makes her feel like, wow, something really is wrong. Mm. So the alarm gets louder. And we get in crazy cycles as couples because of it.
And when we get in one of those crazy cycles, if you boil the whole secret language of successful couples down, it's a two-line prayer. Holy Spirit, we want you to help us out. So show me what to say, show me what to do. Show me what to not say, show me what to not do. God, the Holy Spirit, is the great decoder. Nobody knows your spouse like God who created your spouse.
Mm.
So shoot up a prayer. If you're at a tough place, shoot up a prayer and ask God to get you above that line of trust, and he'll do it.
Because when a physical alarm goes off, you don't argue with the alarm. You start asking, what should I do in response?
Excellent. Excellent word. Well, as we wrap up, Bill, wondering if you would pray for those listening today who are in a place where they feel like they're at an impasse, that God would help them find each other's code so they can communicate.
Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, and thank you for marriage. And thank you for the dignity you put in marriage, that our marriages are a reflection of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the love that you have for people. And because of that, every marriage is one breakthrough away from being a great relationship. Just as in salvation, we're one breakthrough away from being in your family.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you would give every married couple that's listening hope that they are one breakthrough away from doing great together. And may you lead with them with wisdom and lead them with diligence so they can get to that breakthrough point, cross over the line of trust, and say with the rest of us that marriage is a great thing and it displays your love to the rest of the world. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Dear Bill and Pam, thanks for joining us today. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you very much, Susie.
It's always great because you live it out, girl.
Yeah, man.
You have a great inspirational love.
Well, thank you. We're in this together. Title of the Farrell's book is The Secret Language of Successful Couples, The Keys for Unlocking Love. I'm Susie Larson, and you've been listening to Live the Promise. You can find a podcast in just a little bit up on our website of today's show, myfaithradio.com. Don't forget to check out First Hour with Brandt Hansen about having an unoffendable heart. Fantastic conversation, both hours. I want to remind you this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.